This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
You're welcome along to a special episode of On The Wire with none other than Jessica Harrington, about to join us despite a self-apparent aversion to technology. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Jess's ability to take a Zoom call or to train horses to win top races, which she may at Ascot next week, and which she may on a global level, it turns out. So tune into that interview coming up shortly. It's myself, Johnny Ward. It is John McDonald from our sponsors, Bar One Racing, Fran Berry and Brendan Duke. And lads, we've had a bit of sunshine this week. Everyone's in better form, including you, Dukey, apart from a trip to the bike shop, I believe.
Yeah, well, a trip to the bike shop and a trip to the dentist. So I've been shelling out money left, right and center over the week. But luckily, the ponies are treating me kindly. So that's easing the pain. My golfers aren't going great. Things are relatively positive. But the trip to the bike shop was an awful shock, because I thought I was only going to be spending a fiver, and I ended up spending 150 quid. So big windows in that shop, Johnny, big windows.
And not only that, Johnny Mac, but he has to climb on the bike to get to his brother so that he has a proper 4G for this Zoom call.
Yeah, what amazes me, Juki, how do you think these people are meant to run their businesses? Fiverr for a visit to the bike shop.
not gauging the customer, Johnny, using the pretext of health and safety. That's the problem with health and safety. Very expensive business, very expensive.
Brian, go on, Juki.
They've never heard the phrase, "Shirt and be grand" on the continent, have they? Your mum is a European. Nothing's ever grand over there. Everything has to be by the book.
It turns out if you do cycle, you actually do start spending a fair bit of money on repairs. But Fran, you didn't need any repairs. You look great, I thought, there at Leopardstown, yourself and Kev, resplendent in the sunshine for yesterday's meet.
Yeah, that came about by accident. Kevin pitched up in my house to go racing with me in a suit. I was in my Geno's and blazer ready to rock up. And I had to run upstairs, get changed, fired a tie into the suit jacket. And both went on air with matching ties almost. So, that created a little bit of stir on Twitter. So it's good to see everybody's watching anyway. And it took the shine off all the losers we probably gave on the 8 race card. So, yeah, all good.
Some mad results, to be fair. Speaking of which, here are the naps from last weekend. Juki, you tipped Japan. Let's start with that. It was disappointing. I have to say, I thought this was one of the most compelling races to watch this season. Martin Dwyer, obviously, of the Racing TV stable, he's probably not going to enjoy many races more than this. But Japan didn't particularly enjoy the Epsom Challenge on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a soft lead on, and in the end, the rag went up and made it. I don't think Ryan did anything wrong on Japan, but again, he didn't look to have a whole lot of fight in him. So he's a horse who's cost me a lot of money, and I may have to draw stumps. But as you say, an absolutely compelling race, because I thought that that pile driver is a tricky horse, but I thought that Dwyer didn't give him a good ride. I thought he should have won the Ledger last year, but that was an exceptional ride. I mean, he's made that mid-race move just when things are calming down. And in the end, that horse really needs a rail to roar against. So he's fairly game, obviously, because he duked it out, but he's a bit quirky. Like, the jockey made the difference there, I think.
Fran, I watched the Derby coming downhill in the Blasket Islands. So I watched the race on 4G in an uninhabited island, and it was kind of, we're walking down towards the beach, and the beach is full of, like, there's about 200 seals on the beach. It's an incredible sight, but you can get in and have a swim. But as I was walking down, I have to watch the Derby here, and Bolshoi Ballet was coming down the hill. Seemingly everything had been going to plan, got into a great position, and your nap, obviously him into high definition for the Ledger. It just goes to show the amount of things that can go wrong in a race. You could have backed this horse at 33s last year, which I really regretted not doing, because I loved him when he won his maiden, and I was gutted I hadn't backed him all year, and then it just all goes completely pee-tong in the race.
Just shows you the best operation in the world, to depend on one horse, and it goes wrong, doesn't it? And you know, they don't leave any stone unturned, Dana Bryan and Ballydoyle and the lads. And it was too bad to be true, wasn't it? If he finished fourth, fifth, you'd say, okay, he came up short, but it was too bad a run. He's got that little cut in his leg, whether that cost him or not, maybe it was ground. Funny race, the Derby, anything that was in near the rail, the first and second were hard to rail most of the way. and that seemed to pay dividends. Obviously, Kirby got a great run. Adam Kirby, a great win for him. Up the rail, and the second day, Richard Hannon's only had to come around one or two horses in the straight. And that seemed to, I don't know, maybe prove somewhat of an advantage. That said, though, the winner was very good. And I think we just have to roll into High Definition for the Ledger now at 5 or 6 to 1 before he wins the Irish Derby, Johnny.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And we will actually look back on those two races very shortly. Standing in for you last week, John, I thought who actually upstaged you, really. He gave a very good winning nap in Snowfall, who produced an extraordinary performance, which we'll shortly look at. But Will played a starring role.
Yeah, she was phenomenal, Johnny. Last year, she was middle of the road, you'd have thought, amongst the Ballydoyle juvenile fillies. She won one of, was it 5 or 6 starts? She was hammered in the debutant, hammered in the filly trial. Meigler as well wasn't sighted. Then produced that in the Musidora. And then in the Oaks, 16 lengths. Nobody could have predicted.
Absolutely extraordinary. I was watching the Oaks also whilst travelling around Kerry. And having, I was asked to prepare a little bit of groundwork for this BBC documentary on Shergar. That's actually narrated by Vanilla Ice, of all things. But I had to listen to the first podcast because it's just like a 7-part series. And obviously there were the commentary of Shergar winning the Derby. And in the middle of it, I paused to watch the Oaks, and it was a similar performance. At a lesser level, my nap was Justino, who did get the job done, obviously, at Listowel, but it was actually turned over at Limerick subsequently, or sorry, at Leopardstown last night. Let's get to the action, though, from Epsom over the weekend. Three unbelievable races on many levels. Fran, you probably, I don't know, you attracted a bit of attention by questioning Frankel's stud career so far. He's the first and the third in the Derby. Now, this was definitely a day of deliverance for him, a very, very impressive winner as well.
Yeah, look, it was coming, I suppose, but he had to go and deliver, and he did, duly did, in great style. Good to see the generation, Frankel, and see stars coming through, isn't it, at this level. Galileo, you know, whatever time he's left at the top of his game. The winner was very good, though, Johnny. I know he did a great run around, well backed before the off. There seemed to be plenty of money late on from running Sandown a couple of starts ago, was very good. And he looked a proper horse. You know, there's no taking away from the way, manner in which he done it. I wish he was coming for the Irish Derby, as he's going for the King George. Yeah. But look, he's a high-class prospect. Charlie Appleby doesn't miss in them big races nowadays. He's really developed into a proper Group 1 trainer.
Did you do your doing the race, Juki, or had you any involvement?
No, the only bet I had was the Haggis horse who was pulled out. So in the end, I left it. But I mean, I wouldn't have backed the winner. As Fran said, I thought he was a good thing at Lingfield because he ran against a couple of biases in Sandown. It was a pace bias and a rail bias. He was definitely the best horse in Sandown. And I thought he'd win in Lingfield. And then maybe didn't handle the track, but I mean, that's an excuse I'm struggling with, because then he looks so comfortable in Epsom, and Lingfield and Epsom are very similar tracks. So I don't know what to make of the race. I mean, the second was 50-1. The third's pulled a couple of shoes off. McSwinney, well, I don't think he's that good anyway, but I mean, he definitely didn't like the undulations. I wouldn't have a lot of confidence in the form of that race.
It was interesting you were so against the Santa Barbara. She actually touched nearly even money in running, which is quite extraordinary, really. It was a race in which she was well beaten, but she actually did shape well, I thought.
Yeah, well, she did settle well, didn't she? Because when she went down to the start with her mouth open, I thought, she's just going to pull her race away. And now Ryan was at pains to get her settled. And I had that race read completely wrong. There was loads of pace. Fran suggested there would be, and there was loads of pace on in the race, which helped him. But I thought Ryan did a great job to get her settled, and she did seem to come down the hill pretty well. She may not have stayed, but again, I don't think she likes it up her, Johnny. I don't think she's genuine.
I don't think she likes it up her, yeah. Johnny Mack, what were your thoughts on the classics?
Abby Yar, I thought, was good. What really struck me was the outpouring of goodwill for Adam Kirby after the race. And you might know him. He seems a really nice chap, but from all his fellow colleagues, there seemed to be a genuine delight for him.
Yeah, Adam Kirby, a very, very popular guy. There's no easy day for him to go racing, lads. Every day he goes racing, he's got to take off a good bit of weight. Maybe no more so than a lot of lads, but he does it day in, day out, never complains, and a very good rider, and somebody that's been pigeonholed unfairly as an all-weather jockey. Just because he stays in England, he can't travel with his weight. He's got a thriving pre-training business in Newmarket also. And he just rides away in the weather through the winter to keep fit. But look at his record for Clive Cox over the years in Group 1 company. And he got an opportunity in a proper race, like a proper classic mile and a half. And he gave him some ride because that gap on the rail, it wasn't really there, was it? It was only just a half a gap, and it could have been all over in a split second there with that camber. If the horse in front of him rolled back in an inch, it was game over for Adyar. But he, Adam committed to the gap. He had plenty of horse under him, but the easy thing would have been to do, come round him and take your chance then. But he was straight into it, and instinctive and class ride.
Do you think he'd have been shouting and roaring at Ben Curtis, Fran?
Oh, yeah. And that's one upside to no crowd there, because when you turn into Epsom down the hill in five furlongs out in a normal year, you cannot hear anything around you because the crowd is inside you, it's outside you, it's wall deep with double-decker buses. I've never heard a wall as I'm looking at Epsom, but this year, with no infield crowd, he definitely would have been shouting and would have been heard.
Do you, like, how does your confidence affect you as a jockey, Fran? Because like when your confidence is low, do you become averse to taking sort of the gaps that might be there briefly? Do you, you know, averse to risk taking, I guess?
I suppose when things are happening, everything seems to happen, and it's not seems to happen with the best will in the world. And Mick Cannon had a great saying: if you hesitate or think about it, you're gone anyway. You know, so you know when you're thinking about things, it's not going to happen because the gap is closed and that. And you know, when you're riding at that level, you just can't afford to take a second guess. And that's what made the difference with Adam on Saturday.
What would, just briefly, lads, any horse that you take out the weekend at the prices that we have now for the ARC? Because, like, if Bolshoi Ballet were to return to form, I think he's 25s for the ARC or something like that. Obviously, there is a question mark. The injury mightn't be great. But then you have the performance of Snowfall. Should be a three-year-old filly getting all the allowances. I'll start with you, Fran, actually.
If you're going to back one for the ARC, it's only Snowfall. You can back a three-year-old filly, 55 kilos, 8 stone 9, the weight for age. High class fillies, we've seen it over the years how that can be such an edge in an ARC. And Japan hasn't had an ARC winner yet, but they might have one in a link through that with the Sour Deep Impact come October. She's the only one at the minute.
It was mad, Dukey, seeing the Deep Impact. And I think as Will was saying, Snowfall did have, she had the pedigree for the job on the dam side as well. But Deep Impact, I remember when Railing won the ARC, he was favorite him. But that race will always be, you know, remembered by the fact that all the Japanese came over. They absolutely hammered him in the toe, didn't give a damn.
I was there that day, and a lot of the Japanese guys were buying tote, were having a bet on the tote, but they weren't going to cash the vouchers in. They were going to take them home and have them framed, which they may have done anywhere. They may have dried their tears with them, but they're incredible fans, because I arrived about an hour before race, and like by Irish standards, that's arriving the day before. Yeah. And the Japanese were all there, and you see that at the Japan Cup when they all flood in as soon as the gates open. So they're incredible fans, and they do have an incredible record of traveling horses, and now Deep Impact having an influence on European. It was a very interesting weekend for sires, actually, wasn't it? Because Kumar had that experiment with sending pivotal mares to Galileo, which was very successful. And now they're trying to send Galileo mares to Siouni, a son of Pivotal. And lo and behold, the Basilica only goes and bolts up in the French Derby. It might be, probably is the best three-year-old colt Aiden has. So very, very interesting times in breeding, Johnny.
A holy performance by St. Mark's Basilica, obviously. But what sort of odds are we talking for the ARC in general, John?
Love, I'm just looking at it here. Love is favourite at the moment. She's 7-1. She's in the Prince of Wales's next week. I think they've Armoury in that as well. I'm not sure whether she'll pitch up. Next week she'd tell a lot with Love. We're 8, Mishriff and Dermot Wells filly, Tarnawa. 9's the French Derby winner, St. Mark's Basilica. And 10-1, Bolshoi Ballet in their 25s.
Let's get to Jessica Harrington, the Lady of Moon, probably most known for Moscow Flyer and all that, but she's kind of just rewritten her own sort of, I guess, her autobiography with a lot of chapters to write. Let's get to Jessica.
This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Jessica Harrington, how are you getting on?
We're getting on great. I'm delighted that the rain has stopped and we've got a bit of nice weather, which is making me feel much better.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone there. I think we're all in better form, and you're in better form after Real Appeal stepped to the company. It was actually quite brilliant. That turn of foot that he loves to show at Leopardstown was evident again in the Ballycorus last night.
Yeah, he was very good, you know, and I just thought, you know, stepping straight from a handicap company, even though he did win as a listed race as a two-year-old, stepping from handicap company, you know, which he had been very disappointing in, but we seem to have got him back this winter. He seems to just thrive, and he's been very good so far. And he just all clicked last night, and he loves Leopardstown.
How have you found the season so far?
It's been good. It's been a bit frustrating because the weather has been changing. You know, it was very dry all through April, and then it was very wet during May and cold, and the horses didn't really thrive very well when the weather was very cold. Especially the fillies.
Do you find like that horses this time of year now, when you get a spell of good weather, that they do react favourably towards it?
Oh, they do. They love it. You know, you suddenly see their coats all coming, and they just look happier. They're a bit like me. They don't like being cold.
No, but one thing you weren't cold on was your record with Fran Berry. Do you remember your relationship with him?
Oh well, I do indeed. We had a lot of fun. He rode my first Group One winner.
Pat Fork, was it?
Yeah.
Fran, do you remember those days?
Oh, God, I do, yeah. We did some great times together. A lot of winners and a lot of success. Pat Forked up was special, wasn't it? It was he was a bit of a freak. He ended up in the yard initially, very well bred. And, God, he didn't let us down. Even when the ground was against him that day, Jesse and Decorah, he'd done enough to beat Casamento, who won a Group One afterwards, you know. So, great day.
And it was great. And I have his half-sister this year.
I was just going to ask you about her. That was about her and also Alpha Centauri's sister that ran really well at Leopardstown, Jesse. That was a good run.
I was delighted with Discoveries. Absolutely delighted. She's a funny filly. She looks at everything and she has to take everything in. And she just was very green because having jumped very well that day, she said, oh, what are all these horses doing around me? Mm. She came home well, so I'm very happy with her, and I've been very happy with her since.
Yeah. You go to the Curragh Derby weekend with her for a maiden or a Lister race or something?
I'd say we'll probably go for a maiden. I'd like to win a maiden first, and then we can step up, take baby steps, I think.
How did your relationship start in terms of Fran riding for you?
God, I can't remember, Fran. You were always around, and you sometimes were available to ride my horses, and I liked the way you rode.
Simple as that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we used to ride a lot of work for Jesse, and it just developed from there, yes, yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of Royal Ascot, obviously, Fran, I'm going to hand it over to you now because a lot of people ask me about your star through your Lucky Vega, obviously. But Fran, you can take it from here.
Jesse, Lucky Vega, obviously a great run in the English Guineas. Very, very impressive run. He surely stayed the mile. I thought he ran really well at the car on ground. He obviously hated because he looked too far and sounded like he was going to be last. I couldn't believe he finished fourth at the debt.
I know. I thought I actually nearly put my grace glasses down. I said, oh, my God, he's going to be tailed off last. He absolutely hated it. But it proved to me there that in that race on bad ground, he still stayed the mile well and you know, was closing in at the death to be fourth when I thought he was going to be out the back.
He did. And going to ride Ascot, obviously, you have a limited time with this horse star, right? Is he still going to Australia to be a stallion in August?
Well, as far as I know, he is. Yeah, I don't, you know, we'll just see what happens. At this stage of his career, I just take one step at a time. But he came out of the car really well, and I'm happy with it.
A mile around a bend in the St. James's Palace, that should suit him well. And would you be inclined to ride him more like he stays a mile now in comparison to his last two runs?
Yeah, most likely we'll be a bit closer to the pace. You know, he wasn't that far off the pace because he was just actually in Newmarket. He just tracked away there. He just got a little bit of unbalance coming down the hill in Newmarket, which he had done in the Middle Park last year as well.
Mm.
Definitely. And you see Poetic Flair is favourite for the race. His form, if you go back to that run, of course, at Newmarket, and he'd be quite hopeful going there. He's been all right in good form since the Irish Guineas.
It might first be in great form. He's done his work here. We're all on schedule. He's just got one more breeze to do, and then he'll be ready to turn up on Tuesday in Ascot.
Plenty to look forward to. And Jesse, looking through the rest of the runners for the week, you have plenty of entries. Taipan, will he go for the Queen's Vase, or will you keep him for the Curragh?
I'm going to go for the Queen's Vase. because Fiona Carmichael, who owns him, is able to go to Ascot. I'm not sure whether she'd be able to come over to the Curragh, so she might as well see. She's never seen the horse run yet, so I think that's the obvious thing. And I'm going to fit him with a pair of blinkers because he races very lazily. That's all. He's not the fact that he's not genuine. He's just he's a big idle horse.
Yeah, we were all over him the last time, Jesse. I think Fran had him as his nap, and Fran is on a mission retrieval, I think.
I've been costing your money, Fran, have I?
Look, I'll keep to fate. I do think he wants a trip, and the blinkers are not a bad move. Does he want to ground as soft as it was at the Curragh? Because I know he won his maiden at Naas on it, but maybe no extremes in going would be best for him or not? Or...
I think probably no extremes. I just hope it's not too... look, it'll be a good covering of grass on it in Ascot, and it'll be same for everyone, and so it's usually fair ground.
And Jesse, on Wednesday, if Albion Square entered up and Valeria Messalina, would they be likely to go over and take their chances in their races?
Yeah, Albion Square, firstly, he's actually in the sale, the Goffs London sale on Monday night, the online sale. And then so he goes through the ring ostensibly there. And then I would say he most likely it'll be the Albion. He's a very quick horse. He seems to like quick ground. And he's come on a lot since his last run when he won.
Excellent. Valeria?
Valeria, yeah, she's definitely going. I took her out earlier on at the Curragh early on because the ground was too soft. And then I had to be committed to run her at the Guineas weekend, even though it was even worse ground, because I needed to get a run into her. She's quite a burly filly. And so that brought her on great. And so she's in great form, and the quicker the ground, the better she'll like it.
Excellent. And just Nord, you've been mentored up in a couple of races through the week. He was a great winner on Champions Day there last year, ran extremely well in Haydock around a bend the last day in that Group 3.
Yeah, you know, he really proved to me last day that he was a Group horse. He ran, I thought, there above himself. And because it was a competitive Group 3, the ground would be the problem, really, with him. I'm not sure whether he will go. I'd love to run him in the Hunt Cup because I think he loves that straight mile at Ascot.
And just on Nord, Jesse, we're obviously an Irish-based show and we're all Irish connections. He didn't win in Galway last year. He was pipped twice in the week, but just shows how competitive it is to win a good handicap in Ireland when you're dealing with a horse that bolted up in Ascot on Champions Day and as a Group 3 performed this season. It's just so competitive here.
It's very, very competitive. He just was very unlucky in Galway. He's his own worst enemy because he's a bit slow to jump and warm up into the race. But then when he gets going, he always finishes very strong. But that's his style of racing. And that's probably why it suits him when they go really hard and he can come through from behind. So the English style of racing does suit him.
Yeah, and how competitive it is to win a good handicap here and day in, day out, it just shows you what you need to win a good race here.
Yeah, look, it's the same really probably with Real Appeal last night. Like he won a good handicap and then was third in a handicap and then can come out and win a Group 3. You know, they are very competitive, the handicaps.
Very much so. And Jesse, interest in Coronation. You have Unadatta, am I pronouncing that right? Entered up
yeah,
in Coronation.
Unadatta. There's another syllable in there.
Would she be likely to go?
Unadatta is a town in the middle of Australia somewhere. Where I think it's where it's hottest ever.
He used to train a horse called Ulaanbaatar as well, as the capital of Mongolia, and was a good chaser in his day.
Yeah, that was right too,
And does Ulaanbaatar run?
Yes, she does. She goes for the Coronation. She ran in the Breeders' Cup last year, having finished third in the Moy Glare. She got upset in the stalls, which didn't help her. And she always runs very fresh. She won her maiden fresh. So she seems to be in great form. And the quicker the ground, the better she'll like it.
Is she an inspiration to you, Dukie, in that kind of a little bit later in her career, she slightly changed tact and became a world-class flat trainer as well as a jumps trainer? Because your own career has been sort of, I don't know, you're looking for the next step, I suppose.
But we're almost
the first step.
I'm not giving up yet. We're always looking for the next step. Yeah, I know. Always I look forward and hope. You know, all I want to do is, you know, have nice horses and train winners. And then, you know, then once you get to winners, you want group, well, listed winners, group winners, group ones. You know, I'm always sort of, you know, wanting to do better and try and do the job better.
This is probably a stupid question, but you must be actually looking forward to going over to Royal Ascot and enjoying people racing again.
Well, I'm not really enjoying it because I can go as two things. I can go as a participant, which means I'm a trainer and I can't mix with the spectators.
Okay.
I can saddle my horse and I can go into the parade ring, but I can't mix with, can't go to boxes, can't go to lunch. Or I can go as a trainer spectator, which means I don't saddle the horse. I haven't worked out whether I'm allowed in the parade ring yet, but I can meet my owners, which is what I want to do. So, well, I'm working out that I'm doing one thing one day and another couple of days.
Have you found all this quite frustrating?
Look, it is what it is, and look, the great thing, as long as we can keep racing going, look, we'll do anything. You know, if we had to stop racing, you know, like we did last spring, you know, it'd be a disaster. And like I was only thinking the other day, this time last year, we'd only just literally started racing. We didn't start racing till the 8th of June.
Any questions for her, Juki and John?
Well, I suppose just in terms of the general faffery of being at the races and whether you're a trainer, spectator, or spectator, trainer, is it getting any easier to get the horses over there, Jesse? Or do you still have to have people to meet them on the other side? Or are those regulations being relaxed at all?
I know that it has got easier. Your lorry driver doesn't have to do quarantine when he comes home. And it has got easier. They've lifted a good few restrictions, but it's still complicated because of not through COVID, but through Brexit. The fact that we have much more paperwork, it costs more money. The guts of, I think the paperwork now costs something like 900 euros. Get a horse over and back by the time and that's just paperwork and a vet signing a form and the Department of Agriculture signing a form. It's crazy. Before we just got on the boat and went.
That's per horse, is it? 900 quid?
Per horse. It's crazy. But anyway, look, you know, it is what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's just the way it is. But, you know, if we could ever go back to what we had before, we had the tripart agreement that horses could move freely between England, France and Ireland. But, you know, there's a VAT problem and having to, luckily I don't have anything to do with that part of the paperwork, but I know it's complicated. And also you have to make up, if you know, before it was great, you could actually wait until you had the 48-hour declarations if you weren't going too far into England, and you could see where you were drawn. Yeah, I want to go. We'll now ship him. But now, you know, I keep getting told 4 or 5 days before the race, are you going? And I said, well, I don't know. The ground might change. The draw might be bad. You know, I don't know. So it's just made it a bit more difficult, which is annoying.
Johnny Mac?
Do you find training flat horses, Jessica, brings more pressure?
Training any horse, if you put yourself under pressure, it is pressure. Because, you know, you basically want any horse you train, you want them to perform to their best of their abilities. Training horses, look, whether you're training a horse to go to Cheltenham, Aintree, Punchestown Festival, the Irish Grand National, whatever, it's the same pressure as you've got when you go to all the big meetings. You've got, you've got Ascot, you've got the Guineas over here, the Irish Derby weekend. You're under, you know, you, if you're like me, you want to succeed. So therefore, you probably do put yourself under pressure.
Yeah, I guess my question, did you feel anyway kind of intimidated by the challenge of training flatters? Look at the maidens run in Ireland, from country tracks to Leopardstown. You have the best bred horses and unbelievable pedigrees. Aidan O'Brien has access to Galileos, and you've taken, you know, the likes of Aidan, Dermot Weld and so on, Jim Bull, you've taken it on head on and succeeded hugely in the years you've done it as well.
I always think that, you know, I think you always must strive to be better. So my attitude was, okay, they've probably got the best horses. I've got to get the best out of my horses. And, you know, and you know, always be looking to get better and better. You know, what I can't take is people say, oh, it's so competitive, you've got no chance. You've always got a chance. You've got to take this on and do the best you can. You know, you could say the same thing in the jumping. You know, you've got Gordon Elliott, you've got William Mullins, you've got Henry de Bromhead, you know, all got a lot of firepower, a lot of money behind them to buy the best horses. You've still got to go out and take them on. And when you can take them on, you take them on.
What race would you love to win most now?
Sorry?
What race would you most like to win now that you haven't won?
I haven't won. Well, I want to win a Derby. I want to win an Arc. I want to win a King George.
Not asking for a lot.
I'm asking, why not? You don't keep looking forward and wanting to do, to achieve. You know, you might as well give up, because if you're looking back and say, oh, I can't do that, or I can't do this, look, I'd love to win a group race in Australia. I'd love to win a group race in Hong Kong. They're all, you know, this is the worldwide in America. You know, there's a whole big, big world out there that, you know, I'd love to take on.
That's amazing. I was hoping you were going to say, I'd love to win a Limerick Racecourse handicap of 15.5 grand, because my Napa's Protagonist running on Saturday. Would you give him a reasonable chance after his lovely comeback run at Nace?
I would, yeah. I just hope the ground isn't too far from it. That's my only worry. But, you know, he's a fine horse. He got a good season last year. He just probably has gone a bit high up in the weights, but he had a nice comeback run. So we're looking forward to that at the weekend.
She's quite a remarkable woman, Fran.
She is indeed. You know, it's inspiring to hear the way Jessie's talking to her about new challenges and everything. And Jessie, you mentioned the King George. KM Peppers entered in. She made a good comeback in the Tats Gold Cup. But she got Pretty Polly before that?
Yeah, she goes to the Pretty Polly next. She just wants nice ground. She doesn't want it too soft and doesn't want it too firm. But she's come back a stronger filly this year. I think she's a better filly this year. So look, it'd be lovely to win a Group One with her. Whether we can do that, maybe taking on the boys is a step too far. But sometimes, you know, last year that race turned up not to be the strongest of races. But you know, we'll just have to see what happens.
And Jessie, just you mentioned the paperwork and all the things going to train a big team of horses, delegation, teamwork. You've got Kate, you've got Emma, you've got Richie there. Does that just leave you to train the horses? You don't have to worry about the paperwork, anything else. You just get down to the gallops.
Yeah, that's basically it. And basically what happens is, thank God, they don't let me near any paperwork. And they don't let me near any hiring and firing and anything else, time schedules and lists for this and lists for that. I'm not great at all these lists. I just like training the horses, looking at the horses, looking at the entries, looking at what races they're qualified. Poor Sean Crow, who works in my office, I practically every morning go into him and say, would you see what 7 furlong races are available for that horse? See where we could go with this one. And he's great. He produces a bit of paper and he puts it on my desk, and I can then see where I might be going. And, you know, I listen, everybody here works very hard, you know, and everyone pulls their weight in the yard, and I'm very lucky to have it. So I, you know, I finally learned how to delegate. It took me a long time, but
it's massively important. What's your special talent? Is it knowing when a horse is right, seeing in a horse in a piece of work that, yeah, she's just ready, and knowing her intimate kind of details almost from knowing her in, day out or whatever?
A lot of it's gut instinct. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know why I do things. I suppose it's just it's an instinct or feeling you get, or you think that's the right thing to do. Plenty of mistakes too. Don't worry about that. I do make plenty of mistakes. And a lot of things that I've put horses in wrong races and I've regretted it. And I've given the wrong instructions to jockeys. And I thought, oh no, that was the wrong thing to do today. You know, halfway through a race, you long for, you know, for a little loudspeaker. Would you ever please do this or that? But you know, you've got it in the end. You've got to trust your instinct, trust your jockey, and trust your judgment of where you're going and what you're doing. But you know, it's, I couldn't tell you exactly what my strongest point is. I have no idea.
Well, thanks a million for your time. Really wish you the best at the weekend, and obviously in Royal Ascot as well, and in winning Derby's, King George's races in Australia, Hong Kong, Arcs. It's all ahead of you, I hope.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to try. I'll have to keep going for a bit longer.
Thanks a million, Jessica.
Not at all. Thank you.
See you, Jessica.
See you, Fran.
This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Yeah, Fran, she's a remarkable woman. I remember she was injured when Sizen John won the Gold Cup because she'd been out skiing, and she had her hand in a cast that day. Then had a cold brush earlier this year, which she probably will have a bit of a chuckle about because you can tell that she's still frustrated by all the restrictions. But I think she's just utterly inspiring. She's probably in the guts for her mid-70s now, and it sounds like she's only really getting going as a flat trainer.
Remarkable woman, looking off right for a number of years, a lot of success together, tough, fair, loyal, but very driven. You've seen that. Wasn't that inspiring the last couple of minutes talking about, I want to win the Arc, I want to win in Hong Kong, Japan, you know, like there's no, everything's forward, looking forward, no looking back, you know, and that's what you need to get ahead, but it's a great way to look at life too, isn't it?
Duke, I'm sure you drew some inspiration from that interview.
I really did, Johnny, because I knew there was a story about her. I remember reading something, I think it was in the Racing Post, where she was married before, and the marriage wasn't working, and she basically walked out of the house one day and just didn't look back, but went over to Ireland and started again. There's no way I'd be able to do that. I just wouldn't get out of bed. So I'm inspired by it, but I don't think I'm actually going to do anything on the back of it, because I just haven't got her positive mental attitude and her resolution as well. The people involved in horses generally tend to be very positive people, don't they? Because you have to be with all the setbacks. Well, I couldn't deal with that. I'd stick to renting horses in the form of backing them as opposed to owning or training them.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, Johnny Mac, I don't know, I always like backing our horses, to be honest, as well. And they're fit and, you know, just you can just basically generally rely on them. I think she's a complete sporting icon in Ireland, which probably isn't really appreciated outside of the racing game.
Yeah, as Fran said, I'd say she's no shrinking violet. Fran, obviously, you wrote for her. I'd say if you gave one of Stones of a ride, she'd give it to you, would she?
But it was always easier to meet in the parade ring after. The problem was, if one race and you had to ring her and you know things would go wrong, you get a spew for about a minute telling you exactly what you are in four-letter words, and then it'd be all forgotten about. And that's the key to them things. And, you know, she's but tough but fair. And once whatever's got to be said is said, and that's the end of it, on to the next race.
She's got brilliant clients now, hasn't she, Johnny? I mean, she's attracted massive owners from around the world.
Absolutely, yeah. And like that was obviously... was fairly evident straight away in the exotic kind of owner she was getting and the well-bred horses. And I, as you said as well, Fran, the sibling of Alpha Centauri, it's exciting because she was an absolute superstar of a horse, and she does have some nice ones to look forward to.
She does say, nearly come to hand, it's interesting to say about the weather and everything. Quite in and out her swing until the last 10 days, and it seemed to be getting more consistent results. Obviously, that winner really appealed last night. A few two-year-olds showing up well, and I'd say they're only ready to make hay now from now on, the Harrington team.
We have a bumper weekend in Ireland, four cards, kind of a lot of handicaps, a lot of sort of not higher grade racing, but competitive stuff. Start with you, John, on Saturday, Downpatrick and Limerick to put your teeth into.
Yeah, one or two stood out. That horse at Enda Bulgers is an everlasting promise in the Martinstown or the conditional jockeys race. He's rated 31 pounds lower over hurdles. He's first run for a year or so, but he looks chucked in, and you'd imagine they might have Killarney in mind for him next month. And what other stood out to me, Oscar Time trained by Gavin Cromwell in a handicap chase. He won a Clonmel beginner's chase back in April. He's had a couple of runs over hurdles. He ran quite well behind Diary in the Martinstown final, but he's back over fences. He could be one to be on the right side of.
I'm going to give one a Roy in the 4:45 at Limerick as my main selection there. This is a horse that has a hold on for the first time. He's running really well. Just is a little bit tricky, but I think there'll be plenty of pace on here. Fran, what do you like on the two cards in the Saturday?
Hey, didn't look at Downpatrick, to be honest. Just concentrated on Limerick.
That's the spirit. Yeah.
And no point saying it any other way, is there? The 4:10, the Virginian, trained by Porrick Roach, very interesting. Beat in Wexford over hurdles and a maiden hurdle the last day. Might not have just got home, but back at the flat off Market 71, the Virginian in the 4:10. And in the last race, The 550 mile maiden number eight, Lord Lucre, trained by Ken Condon, ran extremely well in debut at Leopardstown, staying on to be fifth, I think it was. He's got a good draw in stall one, and it looked between him and Ofaya, trained by Jarlines, number 11.
Juki.
Yes, again, I didn't look at them, Patrick, either. Johnny cut my workload in half. So the only...
this is incredible. I mean, there were only two meetings. The declarations for this meeting were out on Thursday. 48 hour declarations are there for a reason. Just to bear in mind, if you're listening or watching this show, we basically record this at 11 o'clock on a Friday, which does restrict us in terms of our options on Sunday. We essentially have half an hour max subsequent to the entries. The entries are fair enough. But half an hour max after declarations, look at two meetings, Don Patrick and Gordon. But Fran and Juki are so confident of their place in this podcast, despite having 24 hours to look at Don Patrick on Saturday, they simply didn't even bother. Juki, what do you Come like on Saturday?
Thumbs out, guns out, Johnny. No summer jumping for me. So, none other than this punk poet who I backed yes. on Monday in Gordon. So, the jockey didn't do anything wrong on him in Gordon. He was drawn 15, so you either have to go up or you have to pull back. He decided to go up, but he ended up being three wide. The horse slightly ran off the bend, got a bit hooked up with that gal he missed, who's John Murphy's horses. That gal he missed is in rare form and was following up from a win earlier in the week. Probably decent form. That was over 7 furlongs. This is over, well, an extended 6 furlongs, but this horse really travels well in his races. I don't think he'd have any problems with that. Drawn 9, which isn't ideal, but I think he'd be okay. I think he'd be able to take a better position than he was in Gorham. And I think he's just about handicapped to win. So on a weekend where I did try, but I struggled, Punk Poet was the one I liked.
You tried to an extent. Did you try on Sunday then? 2 more cards, one of which I presume you ignored, but although to be fair, you only had half an hour to look at this.
Yes, and I mean, I haven't even got the decks in, so there was no point in me looking at Gorham. But that winner's race, I was interested to see that Cormorant is still in training with Joseph. He's owned by Lloyd Williams, but they must be thinking about this horse as a potential Melbourne Cup horse.
This is a good race, to be fair. This is the Thomastown race, named after Thomastown, the local town, Bolivic Andon. 4:30 at Gorham, Juki.
Yeah, so it is a good race in fairness, Johnny, and it's the 4-year-olds taking on the 3-year-olds, which we like. But I just thought Cormorant, that's good form last year. He won first time out, so he should be all right fresh. He was fourth in the Dante, fourth behind Tiger Moth on Irish Champions Weekend. Thought he might just outclass these.
And you got to be thinking, Fran, he's going to, you know, remember him winning at Leopardstown, basically bossing it from the front. That sort of tactic again, Fran?
I would have thought so around Gorham Park, and if the ground stays good or even a bit better, it's Sunday, they're forecasting good barbecue weather, aren't they? So it's it should be drying out. Gorham, that winner's race, definitely worth watching. The 4:30, the 5 o'clock is a cracking filly's maiden. There's anyone of five that could win that climate, Hazia, Ulster Blackwater and Woodland Garden and Vario. Definitely a race to watch. My one that I like most on Sunday though, Johnny, is in the 2 o'clock. Hadman, trained by Joseph Ryan. I like that, a horse on the back, a very good run at the Curragh, and that'll give us a line on some possibilities for Ascot next week. Of course, he was third behind Dr. Zenf, trained by Ger Lyons, who goes to the Railway Stakes. Very, very impressive horse. We spoke about him last week. Elliptic is possibly going to Ascot. That was second. Hadman was third. A missing matron, a winner was fourth. Hadman, 7 furlongs scoring around the bench. It suited him well, and I think he'd take beating in the first.
Three horses in that race by Churchill, actually. One out of Cassandra Gold, trained by Gerline. So I love these two-year-old maidens where you have, you know, these horses rocking up representing stallions that are trying to prove themselves and so on. Who's impressed you so far of the juvenile stallions, Fran?
We spoke about Churchill, beautiful looking horse. He got his first winner at Listowel last week with the Croplops winning well. And he was well backed at the Curragh on debut. Probably the ground caught him out. Churchill is been touted well. Glenn Eagle says it's not first season stallion, but he seems to get in a few more winners. And after that, it's early days. Obviously, you have profitable. See what happens in Royal Ascot with his progeny next week as well.
What do you like on Sunday, Mac? Johnny Mac?
Oh, there's a couple there. I want to flag up a filly of Joseph's, Sincerest, who's part owned by Sue Ann Foley and John Magner. That's after being doubly declared. It's declared for Limerick Saturday and Gorham Sunday. Maybe you can read into that. And there's a horse of Jim Draper's called Shopping Around that mare. She got a £7 rise for her course win the last day, and they've put on that Pally O'Hanlon. He's a good claimer. His claim will offset the penalty picked up. I think she'll be hard to beat at Downpatrick.
Just before we get to our weekend naps, lads, very briefly, got Ascot Nap.
I'll go with mine. It's a filly trained by Aidan O'Brien, Yet, Y-E-T. He did mention the Queen Mary the other day. I hope she goes for the Albany. She won in Dundalk, beating a filly of Donica as well. There's well touted Orinoco River. Miles cleared the third, and she's about five. You're talking about Alpha Centauri. This filly is as big. She's 500 kilos plus, and I think she's a real deal, Johnny. And she's by Warfront, close your ears, Juki, but I think Yet is a very promising filly, and I'm quite excited by her.
Yeah, I was told about Wesley Ward has sent it over. Lucci, I think, is the name of the horse in the Norfolk that won first time out. Keep an eye out for that. Juki, what's your Royal Ascot tip at the moment?
Well, just a point of order as well. I love Warfront's Fran. They're such beautiful looking horses. The boy Ward, he we were nearly getting ceased and desist letters off Claymore Farm. The abuse. It was on a weekly basis. He just said, "I'll back this Warfront," and it didn't win. You know, but anyway. I could definitely see that filly in the Queen Mary. If I had to have a nap, Johnny, well, it's probably Sanaina, but I'm not sure she's going to run. So I'll wait to see if she gets entered. But Finest Sound runs in the Britannia on Wednesday. Now, he's favoured. He's only about 9-1, but I could see him going off half that price. Unexposed horse for Crisford, second in the Britannia last year. Well cleared. He was well beaten, granted, but by a proper horse. He was well cleared the third. Had two runs this year. It's been beautiful work. They've done just enough to get him into the race. Still has loads of upside. Has the course form. I think the 9-1 is value because I could see him going off 5 or 6-1. So Finest Sound in that Royal Hunt Cup.
Any of you remember the band Manson, Being a Girl and all that? Maybe not. Any of you? Yeah, do you remember them, Juki?
Were they blonde? Were they an all blonde band?
Well, they were blokes, so maybe they were.
Am I thinking of
Hanson? Manson and Hanson. Manson had a song in which the lyrics were, "I will always disappoint you because I'll always let you down." Oh, and that's Warfront. Johnny Mac, did you have time to get an Ascot nap there?
I saw a horse at Gosden's, a juvenile at Gosden's, win at Leicester there recently, a horse called Debab. He beat a juvenile of Archie Watson's called Sweeping, and he did it really easily under hands and heels riding. He was quite taking on the day, and he might take a bit of beating in the Coventry if he pitches up.
Beautiful. And yeah, we'll be interested in the Irish Challenge in the Coventry as well. Let's get to the naps this weekend, starting with you, Juki.
I'll go for a Punk Poet in the 225 in Limerick tomorrow, Johnny.
Fran.
I'm going to take a chance on the Virginian in that 410 handicap. I think he should have won in the rain got into the ground in Wexford. It just caught him out last half furlong stamina wise. He's very interesting off a mark of 71 back on the flat tomorrow in the 410. Declan McDonough booked to ride.
Yeah, I'm going to take on Sincerest in the. Actually, we should be going to you, Johnny Mac, first. Let's get to you.
Jim Draper's mare Shopping Around. I think she'll win in Downpatrick on Sunday.
Well, I'm going to take on Sincerest in the 4:45 that Johnny Mac mentioned. Those colours are always kind of the Sue Ann Foley colours. You're always interested to see will there be a few quid for the horse Sincerest. But Sideshow Bob is a hold-up horse in the race. It's the 4:45 at Limerick. Cosman is probably going to be ridden forward by Jamie Powell from gate 14. But I think the crucial thing about this race is there's 16 runners, and Owen Roy just cannot be out of the four if he settles at all in the hood. Loads of ability, this horse. And just a question of Ronan Whelan maybe getting the actual best out of him because he is a little bit tricky. Lads, this weekend.
Off to Aidan O'Brien's for the afternoon, and I'm in Limerick tomorrow, so quite exciting times and barbecue on Sunday, I'd say.
That's a hell of a trifecta, Juki. Aidan O'Brien's into Limerick into a barbecue.
Yeah, I can't compete with that. I'm going for a swim after this, and then I'm probably not going to be doing anything. I'll be getting ready for Ascot. I just want to get myself centred for Ascot. Massively. Biggest week of the year, right?
Will you cycle your bike to the beach, Juki? Is it fixed yet? Or?
Yeah, it is. No, it is fixed. Yeah, it's on the way home. So I'll have a bit of a sweat on, and then I'll just dive in the sea, and I'll be brand new.
That is actually a nice double, the sea and the cycle. And in fairness, Johnny Mac, he is a man from another era where he thinks you can go to a bike shop and get your bike fixed for a dicky diver, effectively.
Yeah. Juki, you may come out for a spin with us. I think me and Johnny are going to plan a long ride some Sunday. We might drag both of them along too, Johnny.
Yeah, be well up for that. Yeah, Juki?
Yeah, I think I'd be like one of those lads in the Tour de France who joins in for a kilometer to get himself on the TV cameras. That'll be me. But best of luck with that project, lads.
That was On the Wire. Massive thanks to Jessica Harrington, despite her aversion to technology, who was obviously the star of the show. Enjoy Ascot. It's going to be a cracking week, and we'll be back on the Wire next week. Thanks also to Juki, to Fran, Johnny Mac, and Bar One Racing.
Thank you for tuning in to On The Wire Racing TV's podcast, brought to you in association with Bar One Racing. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave a review, give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And this podcast is available on video format in all its glory on YouTube. And you'll also find us on racingtv.com and on audio at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and numerous other platforms. Don't forget, if you are having a bet this weekend following any of our selections or so on, gamble responsibly and do visit begambleaware.org for more information.